audience, who likes parties? Anyone like parties? Yeah? Abby Bissett was the first. Two hands in the air. Abby likes parties. We've learned from painful experience that we can't tell Ruby that there's a party unless it's the very next day. If it's any further than the next day, there's just a kind of a conceptual meltdown of timing, because it's just so exciting. You want the party to be today, don't you? Well, actually, Jesus says the whole Bible is a party invitation. And on the screen it says, you're invited. This is what God says to the whole world, and Jesus is the big inviter. He's the host of the party, and he wants everyone to come on home to his dinner party invitation. So who wants to go to Jesus' party? Do you want to go to Jesus' party? I want to go to Jesus' party. And yet, if you listened to that story, you'll learn that lots of people thought there were other things that were more important than going to Jesus' party. And that is nuts. That's nuts. To think that there's anything more important than Jesus' party. Let's have a look at the first two sentences. So Luke chapter 14, if you've got it open, it's on page 1048. And if you can read along, why don't you have a look at these first two sentences. When one of those at the table with Jesus heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" There's nothing more to do. The dinner's on the table. It's getting cold. Come. Come, one and all. And Jesus tells this story because, did you see in verse 15, it says, those with him at the table, when they heard this, they asked him about it. I wonder what this is. Well, actually, if you go back a sentence before, you'll see right at the top of that page, it says, the resurrection of the righteous. The resurrection. When Jesus mentioned this idea called resurrection, everyone just lost their minds with excitement. Everyone was just over the moon. Resurrection? No way. Tell us another story about resurrection, they're saying to Jesus. Because you know what resurrection is? Resurrection means you and I, we're like seeds, like an acorn. Have you ever seen an acorn? We're like seeds. Though we go down into the ground, we come back up new, better, bigger, more full of life. That's what resurrection means. And the whole world, says Jesus, it's a bit like an acorn. It's a bit like an acorn. And as beautiful and wonderful as an acorn is, it's only small, isn't it? Compared to the oak tree. And one day this whole world will be like an oak tree. Big, glorious, full of life. And Jesus says, oh yeah, that's the party I'm inviting you into. It's the resurrection of the just. All those who are friends with Jesus. And maybe he had in mind some Old Testament verses. I've got some verses from Isaiah on the screen. Next slide. Next slide says this. Isaiah the prophet said, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples." Can you imagine it? "A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever." Can you imagine this big shroud? On a day like today, can you imagine the sun being blocked out by a massive black bit of cloth that's just pulled over the whole of Great Britain? It often feels like it's a quite grey blanket that's pulled over Great Britain most of the time. Often feels like living in Tupperware, doesn't it, living in Britain, because of this translucent grey dome over you the entire time. But no, instead of Tupperware being pulled over you, imagine a big black cloth. You want to get rid of that black cloth, don't you? Jesus has come to swallow up that black cloth called death, to get rid of it so that the glorious sunshine of God's love will beam down on all of creation and we'll be like a glistening diamond, a glistening jewel, or we'll be like an oak tree raised up from the ground, glorious and new and full of life. The sovereign Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth, the Lord has spoken. Don't you long for that day? No more tears, no more death, no more darkness. And Jesus reigning at the heart of all things, the Son of God's love beaming down on us for all time. Don't you long for that? That's the party that everyone is looking forward to. And so on the next slide, we see that life right now is like that acorn. And Jesus is going to make it into the next slide, a great big oak tree, and he's inviting the whole world. So on the next slide, we're going to think about a quote about the Lord Jesus. This was actually said by Lord Hailsham. So just up the road is Hailsham. And a man called Lord Hailsham, he once was writing a book about Jesus and about how wonderful Jesus is as the great host of a party. A party where the whole world is invited. And he said this about Jesus: the first thing we should learn about Jesus is that we should have been absolutely entranced by his company. Jesus was irresistibly attractive as a man. Is that how you think of Jesus? What they crucified was a young man, vital, full of life and the joy of it, the Lord of life itself, and even more the Lord of laughter. Do you think of Jesus like that? The Bible says he is the host of this great banquet. On the next slide it says, someone so attractive that people followed him for the sheer fun of it. I love that. Jesus shows up to all sorts of people in Luke's gospel and he says, come on, follow me. And people leave everything behind, everything, just to be with Jesus. He doesn't promise them anything. He doesn't say, if you come with me, I'll get you lots of money. He doesn't say, if you come with me, I'll get you lots of power. He doesn't say, if you come with me, I'll give you lots of fame. He just says, if you come with me, you'll get me. Right? And that's enough. That is enough, isn't it? That's the promise that Jesus gives to us. If we follow Jesus, the one thing we'll get is Jesus. But that's enough. And people follow him for the sheer fun of it, just to be around him. We need to recapture the vision of this glorious, happy man whose mere presence filled his companions with delight. He would have the children laughing all around him and squealing with pleasure and joy as he picked them up. And Jesus says, come join the party. Do you want to join the party? Do you want to be part of Jesus' party? Yeah? Some of you do. Some of you do. So we're going to learn a song that teaches this. It's the invitation of Jesus to come to this party. It goes like this. Come, come, the table is set. Your turn. Come, come, the table is set. The same. Come, come, your troubles forget. Your turn. Come, come, your troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet. Your turn. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet. Where the nations are freely invited to eat. Where the nations are freely invited to eat. Won't you come? Okay, again, from the top. Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, your troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet. Where the nations are freely invited to eat. Won't you come? Okay, we'll come back to that. That's the chorus. We've just learned the chorus, and we'll learn the verses in a minute. But this is the meaning of the whole Bible. I don't know how you would summarize the Bible. Jesus, again and again, summarizes the Bible as an invitation. Sometimes he says it's an invitation to a royal wedding. Sometimes it's just an invitation to a slap-up feast. But in Luke's Gospel, 16 times, Jesus is either at meals, or he's talking about the kingdom of heaven as a meal, or he's telling people how to throw better dinner parties. That's what he's all about. So much so that in Luke's gospel, all his enemies say, Jesus, he's just a party animal. He's just a glutton and a drunkard. Jesus wasn't a glutton and a drunkard, but he was always at meals because his whole being is to invite you and me home into the party where we belong. And after we've sung a few more songs and prayed a little bit more, we'll think about how people have responded to that party invitation. But why don't I pray for us now that all of us would have hearts that are open to receiving the invitation of Jesus this morning. Shall I pray for us? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we see you as the master of the banquet, and we see your kingdom as the great feast. And we pray that all of us would come this morning, whether for the first time or the thousandth time. May we come and feast. May we come and know you as the great Lord of life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's good news, isn't it? Come on the television, you want to hear bad news. Come to church and you hear good news week after week. And there's a word for that. The word is simply gospel, the gospel. So we're going to sing about the gospel, that is the good news of Jesus now as we stand.
two, three, it's the king. Sorry, wrong key. It's the king.
Ascended to the Father in heaven, and will come again to judge all people.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to all who trust in Christ. He makes me more like Jesus, guides and strengthens me in my daily life, and helps me to serve God in the family of the Church.
Now we're going to sit or kneel to pray. Now we're going to think that God is so good to us, but we often let God down. We don't obey Him. We sin against Him. So a moment of quiet for us to think through what we need to say sorry to God, our Father in heaven, about. Just a moment, I think that through. What do I need to say sorry to God for? You can read, of course, if you haven't joined in. If you can't read, we're all going to say, we are sorry. And we'll say it three times. So if you can't read, when you hear us begin to say something, you join in by saying, we are sorry. Our Father in heaven, we have sinned against you. We've disobeyed and ignored you. Please forgive us the wrongs we've done, for being selfish and greedy, for bad temper and angry words.
We are sorry.
For hurting others, for for life we have sold, for things we have stolen, for the wrong in our hearts.
We are sorry.
For not trying to please you, for not helping others.
We are sorry. Please forgive us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sin. Help us to live lives which please you. Amen.
Thank you, Father, that you do forgive us. You're the kindest Father in the world because you forgive us again and again. And you do it because of what Jesus has done for us. As he died on the cross to take our sins himself. Now we're going to continue to pray as Emily Miller comes to lead us in our prayer today.
Done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord God in heaven, our Maker, our Sustainer, Sovereign Ruler, our Father, we praise you for all your mercies to us. Thank you for a new day in which to know you. Thank you for your faithfulness and for all the grace that you lavish on us. Thank you, Father, for opening up your kingdom to us. And for sending your King, Jesus. Thank you for your invitation to the great banquet. Father God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in countries in the Middle East. As they face poverty, persecution, and so much uncertainty, please help them to know you as their rock and their refuge. Please, would you help the vulnerable side to support these Christians? Give them the resources they need and the courage to work in dangerous places. Father, we also pray for Mark and Vanessa this morning. Please look after them and refresh them in every way as they read your word and pray through and think through ministry at your souls. Please guide their thoughts. We do thank you for their selfless work here. Please equip them to continue their ministry here. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Emily. Well, now you might like to take the Church Family newsletter, and I'm just going to mention one few things. In order, this week on Tuesday at lunchtime, we will be going door to door around the parish with a questionnaire. We've really enjoyed doing this so far, and if you've never done it before, why not try and come along and try it with someone who's a bit more experienced than you. You'll be paired up, and you'll find it actually a very interesting and engaging experience. So come this Tuesday lunchtime, or any Tuesday for the next 5 or 6, at 1:15, meet in the car park. Our most important meeting of the week is on Wednesday evening, when we meet together as a church family to give our praise and our prayer to God our Father. We'll be meeting at 7:45 or 8 o'clock here in church this Wednesday over by 9:15. And particularly we'll be doing exactly what we've just done, get behind Martin and myself in this vital time of their sabbatical and praying for them and for the ideas that God will be generating in their thinking. So do come and pray with others this Wednesday evening, 7:45 to 8 here in church. This last Saturday, a number of us went to London for a fine men's conference, and you ladies had the opportunity for yours this coming Saturday. It's at All Saints Progress, so much less far to go, and you're promised a great day there. There's a sign up sheet at the back, and it's not too late to sign up for this Saturday, 9:45 to 3:15. Looking a little further ahead, we've got our next senior souls on Thursday the 21st of June in the afternoon with a strawberry tea. What a great opportunity to invite friends along who are not regular church goers to enjoy time together, a great tea, and some singing and a good message as well. Looking further ahead still, our church family camp is one of the great highlights of the year for us. Friday the 13th in the evening to Sunday the 15th lunch time. Sign up on the sheet again at the back whether you want to camp or, like me, you just want to come by day, each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and make the most of it, but enjoy your own bed, whichever you prefer. And finally, it's a tradition of ours to have a book to read over the summer, and the book that we're reading for this summer is called The Ark of Rest, which is a good thing to think about in the summer, The Ark of Rest. If you're interested in that book and reading it together with others, then sign up at the back. It could be by them in bulk, but it's £5.50 a copy, and they should be available in the next few weeks for all who signed up for the copy of that. And now we're going to sing again the words up on the screen. In a moment we're going to hear part two of Glenn's talk about that great invitation to a person. And what we're going to sing again and again is that God speaks in the Bible and we listen as we hear the Bible explained today by God. Let's go.
Please have a seat. So let's see if we can remember the chorus that we just learnt. So it goes, come, come, the table is set. Your turn.
Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, may our troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet, where the nations are freely invited to eat, won't you come?
Very good. So this is the great invitation that God gives to the whole world. Jesus is the great host. And we might think that we love parties. Actually, we'll see in the Bible, it's God who really loves parties. And actually, our second point, if you're following along, there is a handout in your service order. And you'll see that not only do we think we like parties, actually, no, God is the one who really loves parties. We might think that God is the killjoy. Actually, it turns out that we are the great killjoys. We're the ones who don't really pursue joy the way we should. Is that interesting? You might think the Bible says, stop having so much fun. Be more holy. Actually, the Bible says, you don't know nothing about fun. What you're worried about and what you run after, that's not true joy. We think God's the killjoy. Actually, we are the killjoys. Let's have a look at it in verse 18. Do you still have it open on page 1048? Here comes the great invitation to the whole world, and yet, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I've just got married, so I can't come. That's a shock, isn't it? This great party, this great symbol of the kingdom. I thought we were about happiness. I thought we wanted flourishing and life. Apparently not. Apparently we are great killjoys. And did you notice these excuses? Billy Sunday was a great preacher last century. He had a great definition of an excuse. He said, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And so the skin of the reason is, well, I guess the first person says, things are a bit mad at home. Should we have the next slide up? Things are a bit mad at home. We've got renovations going on. Just don't talk to me about Jesus right now. Things are just a little crazy at home. Maybe later, but right now things are a bit mad at home. And then the second person has an invitation, and I guess we could say they have to go out and check out an oxen. And things are a bit mad at work, they say. Just snowed under. Totally snowed under. Can't really be dealing with Jesus. Can't really be dealing with eternity and all those bigger issues in life right now. It's a bit mad at home. It's a bit mad at work. And then this guy, I don't know how he's feeling about being married. We can probably it's best he doesn't express how he feels in this moment. He's just got married. He's just got married and he doesn't want to come. He doesn't want to think about Jesus right now. He doesn't want to think about the things of the kingdom. And I wonder, as ridiculous as it is, when eternal joy is offered to you, as ridiculous as it is to run after work and home and other matters, actually, Jesus says that's what we're all like. When eternal joy is offered to us, we just want to scroll through our Facebook status updates, don't we? We just want to deal with the trivialities of life. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia books, he said this on the next slide. He said, our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition. When infinite joy is offered us, we're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a little boy in the back garden and he's just making mud pies and mud pie, beautiful day like today, and we say, we're going to the beach, there's going to be hot dogs, there's going to be ice creams, there's going to be bouncy castles. Will you come? He says, no, I've got my mud pies. My mud pies are pretty good. I'm going to stay here. And he's missing out on the sunshine, missing out on the beach, missing out on the ice creams and the hot dogs and the bouncy castles, because he thinks what's in front of him must be what's most important. Can I tell you, whether you're a grown-up or whether you're a child, what's in front of you is not what's most important. That's what's so good on a Sunday, isn't it? Just stop, to come away from everything else and to put in front of ourselves something of eternal significance. Because what we've been fretting about all week is not what's most important. What's most in front of ourselves is not what's most important. And so Jesus, he wants to wake us all up, and he says, wake up. Look, I know it's a bit mad at home. I know that. I know it's a bit mad at the office. I know you've got all sorts of family things going on. I know. But I'm offering you a kingdom of light and life and love. I'm offering you the blessed life of eternity and joy. And I've got to ask, are you putting the things of Jesus in front of your nose? Because all those other things crowd in, don't they? All the other things in our lives that aren't as important, they will always crowd in. You don't need to make space for those other things. They will demand space in your life. But are you making space for the things of Jesus? Because he knows how to satisfy your soul, not just on a Sunday afternoon, but for all eternity. He knows how to do that. Other things will crowd in always. But here's the invitation again today. And maybe you've been looking into the Christian walk for a while, and maybe you've been thinking, another time. Another time will be the time that I'll come. And this passage is right here to say, come right now. Come to the party. Come to Jesus. Shall we learn the next verse? So we've got our chorus. Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, your troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet, where the nations are freely invited to eat, won't you come? And then the verse goes like this. Will you make an excuse? Will the timing be wrong? Your turn. Will you make an excuse? Will the timing be wrong? Will you tell him you're busy and just don't belong? Will you tell him you're busy and just don't belong? And that's the chorus. Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, may your troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet, where the nations are freely invited to eat, won't you come? So we think we're into parties. No, God is really into parties. We think God's the killjoy. No, we are the killjoys. And then on the next slide, we think we seek God. Actually, it's God who seeks us. We think we're on a great intrepid journey towards heaven. No. We're just lost in our own little worlds. And God has to come and find us. Did you notice that in our passage? Verse 21, the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has been done, but there's still room. You'd think that the master would just call it quits. You'd think he'd just say, okay, I've made my invitation, they haven't come, fine. We'll just have fun with who's here. We'll just make do. But no, he is the great seeker, isn't he? And so he goes out, and this is really a story of the whole Bible. You had the Jews were the first ones invited to this feast. And then, when they didn't seem to be coming en masse, the invitation goes out to the whole world. And do you notice how you and I are being characterized there? The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. We're the people who can't make it there ourselves. We can't make our way to this feast. We're not strong enough. We need to be led because we're blind. We need to be carried because we're lame. We need to be told things because we can't see, we can't hear, we can't make our way to this feast. And yet God is the God who continually seeks and saves what is lost. Do you know that about yourself? Do you identify with the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame? This is who God loves. He comes to seek us. We're not the great seekers. We're not the ones climbing the mountain. We're poor, we're crippled, we're blind, we're lame. We can't climb the mountain. He comes all the way down into the valley. He's the one who seeks after us. And then on the next slide it says, we think we bring our goodness. Actually, we just bring ourselves. Do you ever say that to somebody? They say, oh, you know, we want to have you over to our place. And your friend says, what should I bring? Do you ever say, just bring yourself? Do you ever say that? You know, that's what God says. He doesn't say, bring a bottle. He doesn't say, bring dessert. Okay? He doesn't say, bring 10 pounds. Okay? To pay for anything. He doesn't say, bring anything. He just says, bring yourself. And if you're too weak, you're too crippled, blind or lame to come yourself, well, you get carried. You get carried to this party because this God is a God of grace. We don't bring Him our goodness. We just bring ourselves. We don't clean ourselves up for this party. We come to the party for the bath. And we get cleansed as we come. So on our next slide, let's learn this next verse. So here's the chorus again. Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, may our troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet, where the nations are freely invited to eat, won't you come? Next verse. Thank you. Do you feel that you're empty with nothing to bring? If you're weak and you're helpless, then hear Jesus sing. Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, may our troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet, where the nations are freely invited to eat, won't you come? And then almost done. Here's the final point. We think on the next slide, we can always make excuses. Actually, the invitations will run out. That's the shock in this passage, isn't it? The invitations do end at one point. They dry up at one point. Did you notice in verse 24? I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. There are people who've been invited and invited and invited and invited. And in the whole story of the Bible, that goes on for thousands of years. But in our lives, there comes a point where the invitation stops, and where if you keep on making excuses and you keep on making excuses and you keep on making excuses, Jesus takes the hint, right? He takes the hint and he says, okay. Do you ever do that with a friend? You've been rearranging like 17 different times to meet with them, and you keep pursuing them because they're your friend, and you keep pursuing them, you keep pursuing them, you keep pursuing them, you keep pursuing them. And at some stage, you take the hint and you say, oh, okay, I see you don't want to meet with me. And it's that way with God, actually. He keeps on inviting, he keeps on inviting, he keeps on inviting. But at some stage, if you still find other things more attractive than him, he takes the hint and he says, okay, I see that this party's not for you. You've made your choice. You've filled your life with other things. Okay, have those other things then. Don't have me. You know, that's the great tragedy. The great tragedy is that we fill our lives with things that are not Jesus. They are not full of life. They are not full of joy. We fill our lives with them so that there's no more room for Jesus. And at some stage, Jesus takes the hint and he says, okay, you've made your choice. You've chosen those other things. I respect that choice. Go your own way. That's a fearful thing, to go your own way. When Jesus is full of life and blessing and joy, to go your own way is death and curse and misery. No one wants that, do they? Anyone want that? But the real tragedy is all that people did in order to miss out on this is they just filled their lives with other things. They just filled their lives with, it's a bit mad at home, it's a bit mad at the office, family stuff, I'll put it off, I'll put it off, I'll put it off. And we think we can always make excuses. Actually, the invitations will run out. So what about this morning? This morning, I'm going to extend the invitation. This morning, Jesus says, come. Come to the feast. Have you been putting off Christian faith? Have you been putting off coming to Jesus? Have you been putting off calling yourself a Christian? Have you been putting off following Jesus? Don't put it off. Don't put it off, because the invitations will run out at some point and you don't know when. So say yes today. Say yes today. A little bit later, I'm going to offer you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to say, I want to deprioritize those other things and I want to come home to the feast. We'll say that in a second, but why don't we sing our next bit of the song? Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, may our troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet, where the nations are freely invited to eat, won't you come? If you doubt there's enough, see his arms unfurled.
broken and bleeding to welcome the world. Come, come, the table is set. Come, come, may your troubles forget. At the feast where the princes and penniless meet, where the nations are freely invited to eat, won't you come?
Should we just see that the verse again? Go back one slide. Jesus really wants you at this party. Do you know how I know Jesus really wants you at this party? His arms are wide open. They were nailed open to invite you to this party. He took on all the death. He took on all the misery. He took on all the curse so that you can get all the life, all the joy, and all the blessing. That shows you he really wants you, doesn't it? Costs money to throw a party, doesn't it? Costs money to throw a party. Jesus has paid it all. He paid it all on that cross. He took the death, he took the misery, he took the curse so that you could have the life, the joy, and the blessing. His arms are open to you. Do you want to say yes to the invitation of Jesus? I hope you do. And if you've been following Jesus for many years, should we deprioritize that other stuff? It's not as important, is it? The kitchen renovation, the to-do list in the office, there are all sorts of things that crowd Jesus out. They're not as important, are they? Here is Jesus offering us infinite joy, and we go on making our mud pies in the slum. Should we devote some time today? Should we devote some time this week to just refocusing our attention on Jesus? That's not to kill our joy. That's where true joy is found. To come home to the open arms of Jesus. Why don't we bow our heads and let me pray for us all. I'm going to pray two kinds of prayer. And the first prayer is a prayer for someone who hasn't yet come home to Jesus. You've never yet said yes to this invitation. And it's a prayer that says, Jesus, you take first place. All the other things can wait. You take first place. I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to your kingdom. Let me pray some words, and they're not magic, but you could echo them in your heart if you wanted to start this relationship with Jesus this morning. Dear Jesus, I recognize who you are. You are the Lord of life. And dear Jesus, I'm sorry. I've been focused on other things and not you. Please forgive me. Thank you for your cross. Thank you that you died for me. And thank you for your resurrection, that you give me new life. Jesus, I'm coming home. Fill me with your Spirit and walk with me through life and into your eternity. Amen.